Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus. Great to be gathered together today as brothers and sisters in Christ to receive the Lord's gifts both in word and sacrament this morning. He truly is faithful to be with us, and we give him thanks and we give him praise for that. I'm glad you could make it in today. Our service this morning begins with our hymn of invocation. That's hymn 440, Jesus, I Will Ponder Now. But before we sing, wanted to welcome everybody who's tuned in on the radio and who may be watching later online. Thanks for joining us also for our service in that way. So we kick off our service with hymn 440, and we do invite the congregation to please stand if you're able on the last verse of our hymn this morning. Let's sing together. begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We confess our sins. God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your presence and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We continue with our introit this morning from Hebrews chapter 12. O come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading for this morning, the fifth Sunday of Lent, comes from Jeremiah the prophet in the 31st chapter of his prophecy, verses 31 to 34, as the Lord here speaks about the new work which he planned to do, which we are benefactors of this morning and in our lives, the work that he'd do in the new covenant through Christ. Speaking about that here in Jeremiah's day in his prophecy, we begin in verse 31. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. This is the word of the Lord. Would you join us in a responsive psalm from Psalm 119? How can a young man keep his way pure? With my whole heart I seek you. I have stored up your word in my heart. Blessed are you, O Lord.
Teach me your statutes.
With my lips I declare
all the just decrees of your mouth.
In the way of your testimonies I delight.
As much as in all riches.
I will meditate on your precepts.
And fix my eyes on your ways.
I will delight in your statutes.
I will not forget your word.
Amen. Our epistle lesson from Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 through 10, as he talks here in this reading about Jesus as our great high priest. Beginning in verse 1 here, every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward since he himself is beset with weakness. Because of this, he is obligated to offer sacrifice for his own sins, just as he does for those of the people. And no one takes this honor for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. This is the word of the Lord. We invite the congregation to please stand now, if you're able, for our reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. And they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them, and they were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. And taking the 12 again, he began to tell them what was to happen to him, saying, "See, we are going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise." And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in glory." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" And they said to him, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." And when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. For whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and give his life as a ransom for many." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Would you join us now in singing our hymn of the day for today? That's hymn 430, My Song is Love Unknown. In the name of Jesus, amen. We read to start our sermon, verse 45 of our text for Mark chapter 10. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and give his life as a ransom for many. Amen. You know, it kind of went to their heads, old James and John. It certainly did. Maybe some of the other disciples too. Well, fame has a way of doing that. So you can't really understand Mark's gospel very well in chapter 10 if you just look at a portion of it. Neither can I. We have to see what's going on in our pericope this morning that's in the bulletin under the gospel reading in its context to really get our heads around what's taking place. If you brought your Bible to church this morning, I encourage you to open it up with me to John chapter 10, and we'll take a look. If not, of course, there's a few pew Bibles in front of you there if you want to grab one of those. Mark chapter 10, and take a peek at some of this with me as we wrap our heads around what's really going on in our lesson this morning. I'll give you just a second to do that. Mark chapter 10 is where we are. So Jesus has been out doing his teaching, right, and his disciples with him. And if you look in chapter 10 at verse, for the sake of time, verse 11, he says to the leaders, the religious leaders and the Pharisees, in verse 11 of Mark 10, and he said to them, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her, and if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. He's kind of laying down the law to those people, isn't he? He just says the truth, red letters, and goes on to the next thing. But notice what happens in verse 13 of chapter 10. See, isn't it usually in divorce, the children that pay the highest price? Verse 13, and they were bringing, no surprise, children to him, that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for such is the kingdom of God. You know, his disciples were kind of already acting like bodyguards. People were bringing the children of potentially divorcees who'd suffered that pain and hurt, up to Jesus to have him touch them. And the disciples were saying no. And Jesus rebuked them, acting like that, saying, no, you can't bring your kids to Jesus. And what happens next? But then a rich young ruler, you might be familiar with this text, it's pretty popular reading in the scriptures. A rich young ruler comes in verse 17, if you want to look, and he was setting out on his journey, this rich young man, and he ran up and knelt before Jesus and said, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? So get the picture. Here's Jesus teaching, telling people what the truth was, condemning sin, calling sin, sin. Who cares about the other things that are said? Jesus calls it what it is. And then people bring those children to him, and he lets them come. And then a rich, wealthy person comes up to Jesus and falls down on his knees at Jesus, before Jesus. He's getting pretty popular, Jesus is, by this time in Mark's gospel. In fact, if you look, flip over one page, wherever your Bible is, in chapter 11 is the account of the triumphal entry, where they walk into Jerusalem on people's coats with palm branches waving. The disciples starting to feel a little bit what fame is like themselves. So then we come into our text for this morning. See, Jesus can tell what the disciples are thinking. He knows their thoughts. And right before our text in verse 32, look at verse 28, because you can hear it in Peter's voice and in the things that he's saying. He says in verse 28, recognizing that there's this rich, wealthy person coming up to Jesus, kneeling down, that people are bringing their children, and that Jesus is just telling them how it is at this point. And then in verse 28, Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left everything to follow you." Can you hear it in Peter's voice right there? We've left everything to follow you. In other words, what's in it for us? Jesus is getting popular. What's in it for us, Lord? And Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, there's no one who's left house or brother or sisters or mothers or fathers or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive a hundredfold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life." But then verse 31, he says, "Many who were first will be last, and last first." They're starting to think, these disciples, at this point, the fame's getting to them. What's in it for us? So Jesus, interrupting those things, enter our text, verse 32. They're on the road, they're walking, they're going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus says, what to them? He tells of his death, his coming persecutions. He tells them that they're going to mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. He's trying to help the disciples there. But the fame has already got to them. They're already wrapped up in, "What's in it for us, Lord?" And you can tell, because the very next verse, verse 35, I mean, I would think after Jesus told me that he was going to have to endure this kind of suffering and pain and that he was going to die. Look at the next thing that his disciples ask him. Verse 35, James and John come up to him and say, "Hey, teacher, we want you to do something for us." Thick-headed. Is there no empathy in these guys at all? To have our Lord tell them what was coming and then just to not even have it affect them. But they just go up and ask him for something else. You know what they are? James and John. And I think probably the other 10 too, because they're probably representing what's been going on in the hubbub inside the circle. Even though the 10 later in the text tells us got indignant with James and John. Well, that's what they would do. You know what's happening right here? Do you see what's going on? James and John are trying to use Jesus to get what they want. Lord, we want you to do something for us. We want to sit one on your right and one on your left in glory. Really? That's what you're thinking about, is what's in it for you. Brothers and sisters, I say this with all humility. We are so much like James and John. Because that's also what's on our minds, is what's in it for us in this life. And we hear about what Jesus did, just like they did on the road. But we're not necessarily going to be too scathed by that. We've got plans. We've got purposes. We have things we want to work out. There's a huge difference between Jesus Christ coming into this world, Son of God, Son of Man, and giving His life for us. Dying on the cross and suffering that pain. There's a huge difference between Him saving us and us trying to use Him to save ourselves. Our goals are not the same as God's. He has different goals in mind for you and for me than we do. But will we go to our Lord and say, Lord, I want you to do something for me. My goodness. When I was seeing that, I'm like, okay, now I'm staring in the mirror, because that's what my prayers usually sound exactly like that. Am I right? What do we usually go to Him for? To make something work. To get what we want. Here's what He has to say. It's the rest of our text. He says, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. For whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. Isn't that an interesting way to deal with James and John and the other disciples? When Jesus can see full well knowing that they're trying to use Him to get what they want. But in His patience and in His kindness and in His love, He doesn't bite back. He teaches them. And He's teaching us this morning too. You want to know how the kingdom of heaven really works? Jesus tells us. If we want our plans to work out, we've got our goals, and we want to be great, and we want to be first, then the way He's going to prescribe the prescription to us is to become a slave, to become a servant. He wants us to hear that and to understand how this really works. See, because in life, we tend to want to make Jesus a part of our lives. And we think, oh, this is how it works. I got it, me, and then I'll go get Jesus. And as long as I have Jesus, I'll be fine. Not how it works at all. Jesus is not a character in our story. Can you see that? Can you see how badly sin has twisted up our minds and our hearts that we would take the Son of God and use Him for our own advantage? This is the servant talk. This is the slave talk. This is what it really means. See, God wants to show us where we really fit into this. Remember Genesis? We were created by God. We were under Him and in His kingdom. He wants to show us how it really works. So He uses this servant and this slave teaching to show us that actually how it works. God is not a character in your story. Like, thank you, Jesus, for being a part of my life. Ooh, that's not humble at all. It's manipulative. How it really works is we're a character in His story. We didn't include Jesus in ourselves by some decision or some action or something that we did. He included us in His story of salvation forever and ever and ever. And guess what, friends? He mentions to be a servant and to be a slave. Well, that's exactly what He did. That's exactly what He's included us in. He came not to be served, but to serve and give His life as a ransom for many. And through that service and through that giving of His own life on the cross, it's through that He includes you. and me. And guess what? He's still doing it this morning. For us. Those of us. It's hard to say, right? It's not that comfortable of a concept. But sinners who would use the Son of God to try to accomplish our worldly garbage, he still serves. He still loves. And he still forgives. And he's here to do it this morning again. He didn't come here to be served, friends. Not this morning, not at Trinity. This morning he came here to serve you. Through his word of forgiveness. You can see how he dealt with James and John. He didn't bite back. Even though what they were doing to him was extremely offensive. But he taught them. He taught them how the kingdom of heaven really works, and that to be a servant and a slave of God, which, trust me, I know you know, we all know, we would resist servanthood, slavery, no matter what, especially in our culture today. That would be like the worst position we could ever be in, is if we were actually somebody's servant or slave. Oh my goodness. But he knows who we really are. And that to be a servant of God is the reason for which he came, for freedom. He said, I will set you free. Service to God, even being a slave to God, is freedom in disguise. For we were made under him and in his kingdom. And he's bringing us back to that beautiful freedom. By serving. By telling us by his own words that we are forgiven. He knows, he knows, he knows. All things are naked and open to him to whom we must give an account. And yet, he shows up not to be served, but to serve you and me with forgiveness, with his very own body and blood, and with this sure promise that he'll always be faithful and always be there to love and care for you and me. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, we invite the congregation to please stand if you're able as we confess our faith to the words of the Nicene Creed. They're found in your bulletin at the bottom of page 6. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, very God, begotten not made, being in the one substance with the Father, by whom all things are made, who for our sin and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge us all the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and life of the world to come. Amen. We now come to the time in our service for our prayer of the church. Our response for our prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, pour out your Holy Spirit and write your word on our hearts, that we may know you as the God who forgives our iniquities and remembers our sins no more. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, bless and sustain Matthew, our Synod President, James, our District President, Dan, our Circuit Visitor, and all pastors, teachers, and congregation members within our church, who, like all flesh, are beset with weakness. Lord, grant that we would deal kindly with one another, and keep us all faithful to proclaim your word. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, your Son came not to be served, but to serve. Lord, help us not lord our authority over one another, but to be kind and humble, to serve one another in our homes, in our communities, in our workplaces, in our congregations, as Christ so humbly served us. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, look with mercy on the leadership of our country, on our president and all other earthly authorities. Guard them from temptation to wield earthly power improperly. Lead them to serve faithfully according to your good and gracious will. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, as your obedient Son learned obedience, service, through what he suffered, we pray that you would instruct, that you would bless, and that you would relieve your servants. We name before you at the altar this morning Kenny Greenwood, William Tanner, Kay Scharf, the family of Vicki Grayson, especially her husband John, Emily Johnson, and her family, John Brownell, Ava Hoffman, Michelle Sickrist, Willa Del Erke, Robert Hagedorn, Leonard Vigil, Sean Austin, Mike Kirk's family. Lord, bless them and protect them. Give them comfort. Jim, Linda Holman. Lord, be with Audrey Price, Debbie Ford, and Carolyn Jerry, and Mona Hauser, Marcella Pilcher, and Betty Gray, and Sandy Santa Stephen, and Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Ella Clark. Lord, be with Greg and Chris, be with Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Father, we also lift up to you this morning the troubles and struggles of the seminary in Siberia that our congregation has supported. Protect them. Make a way for your word and your gospel there. Lord, in all that we've mentioned and those on our hearts, we pray you sustain them as they walk the way of the cross with your Son in this world, that they may know the fullness of his compassion and his companionship and his eternal salvation. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, your Son stands before you as our great high priest. By your Spirit, prepare our hearts to worthily receive the body and blood of our Savior, who was sacrificed for us on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. you'd turn now to hymn 435 in your hymnal, we'll sing our offertory hymn this morning. That's Come to Calvary's Holy Mountain, as the gifts of God's people are collected and presented to the altar. Let's sing. If you've been joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning into our service, and we wish the Lord's blessings to you in Christ on this day of Lent. And if you're gathered here in the sanctuary, we invite you to turn over to page 8 in your bulletin, and please stand for our service of the sacrament if you're able. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Been listening to Pastor Jason Cody live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. Thank you for listening. Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado, with worship services every Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. Please join us in person or listen in right here on KSPK-FM. For more information, you may call the church office at 719-589-4611 or visit our website at www.tlcalamosa.net or on Facebook by searching for Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. And tune in again next Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on KSPK-FM.
KSPK Walsall.